Welcome to the Discover Montcalm podcast, where we're going to take a look at the communities, the businesses, the attractions, and the people that make up Montcalm County. Here is your podcast host, Dwayne Weed.
Hello, I'm Dwayne, the host of Discover Montcalm, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. Today we have John Studer from Coffee by John, as you can see right here. We're doing a little promo, and if you can't guess, he has something to do with coffee. So welcome, John.
Thank you.
Tell me a little bit about yourself. Where did you grow up and what brought you to where you're at today?
I grew up in Oceana County, Shelby, Hart area. Depending on what part of this county you live in, the rivalry between Shelby and Hart. So Shelby was never a really good term in my house because I went to Hart, but we got through it and great experience. Then traveled to the UP for college up at Lake Superior State. Then after that, kind of was a nomad for a while, bouncing from camp ministry to camp ministry or traveling different parts of the country as well. And when I came back from California, I landed in Truefitt, and here we are now.
And you had a vision. A vision. You are a coffee roaster.
Correct.
And, you know, I love that craft side of things where you can kind of experiment. And it's not always perfect the first time, is it?
No, not at all.
You know, but that's part of learning. That's part of adapting and growing. So to this point in your life, who's been the biggest inspiration to you?
Now that my grandpa's gone, and kind of reflecting on the past year and a half since he's been away, he was such an inspiration in my life and a lot of our lives because he was such a hard worker. There's a saying that they don't make men like they used to, and he's part of that. Worked until his last day, and then you could never tell him to stop because he would just say no, and it was like insulting him to tell him to stop or slow down because he loved to work. And and he's also a very kind man as well.
Oh, well, that's wonderful. How did you decide that you're going to be a coffee roaster?
So I was living in California, working at a camp during the lockdown. Pretty difficult times out there for sure, and I've loved coffee. Then working in ministry, finances aren't always the greatest sometimes, so went out and bought my cast iron skillet, and a little Coleman stove, and just got started and learned how to do it because I enjoy learning new skills. And as time went on, I never expected to get it this far as a hobby, but here we are and just kind of following where it goes.
And that's where the handcrafted coffee comes in, because you are physically, basically touching every bean.
Yeah.
How did you go about picking out what types of coffee bean you were going to use for your different roasts?
So I kind of fell on it for the first handful of months of learning how to roast and just doing it for myself. I was playing with different origins, meaning different countries where they were coming from, getting them in small bags as far as the raw product. Then when I decided to start Coffee by John, mainly as a Facebook, Instagram thing, I wanted to solidify just one or two different origins. I started with the Brazil, not only from a price point standpoint, but also it was just a quality bean that everybody seemed to enjoy. Then, as I like to experiment over time, I brought in the Indonesian bean as well. What was supposed to be a limited time thing, people enjoyed it, so I kind of kept it around. And I still enjoy experimenting with other countries when I have the chance, because I just like experimenting and trying new things.
We hope you're enjoying our podcast, and we'll be back after we thank our sponsors. West Michigan Technology and Design Solutions, your IT and web hosting experts. WestMichiganHelpDesk.com. And DW Video, your source for video production, websites, and your local videotape, slides, and 8mm film transfer specialist. DWVideo.com. Now, back to our interview.
We're talking with John with Coffee by John. You can find him at coffeebyjohn.com. Also, as he mentioned, Instagram, Facebook, all with the handle of Coffee by John. Great branding idea, by the way. You mentioned it being handcrafted. Is that what is unique about your style? I mean, you're actually roasting it, and the cast iron is part of the process.
Yeah, so my processes are from a, if you take a step back and look at my processes, they look kind of questionable because they are very labor intensive. As soon as I get those beans on the skillet, I can't walk away. I gotta constantly stir them. So from a labor standpoint and a physical standpoint, it's a lot of wear and tear on the shoulder and the elbow. And then on top of that, the amount of smoke that comes up and whatnot. But then on top of that, going beyond the roasting, it's the bagging process and then designing my own labels and my bag. I mean, I put all the labels on the bags here, front and back, and then heat seal the bag. So everything is done step by step by hand. I don't have any fancy equipment. Like, the fanciest piece of equipment I have is my printer.
Well, but it's kind of the old school, kind of going old country, you know, back, I guess, overseas, you know, where a lot of this, you know, you find that they don't have all of that. So you're kind of going back to, you know, heat, the cast iron, the bean, a lot of labor. I want to know, how do you get the flavors? How, you know, what's the process of, you know, because, you know, I love your cherry bomb.
Yeah.
I just love the cherry bomb. And, you know, you're not taking a bunch of cherries and putting them in there. But how do you get the flavor into this, and how do you determine, like, how much?
So I have my two non-flavors. I have multiple non-flavor stuff. But then I do the seasonal stuff because I kind of like to please people sometimes. And I like to experiment. What comes out with experimenting. So I have the seasonal stuff. With my seasonal flavors, after doing a lot of research and a lot of experimenting, I found a website that offers hundreds of different flavors of concentrated oils, and I learned what flavors people like and what don't, and they don't like, and that's a continual process. Just because I like something doesn't mean the others. But when it comes down to how much oil I need to put on a bean or a batch of beans, I came down to experimenting last year and learning what worked and what didn't work. So I had some batches last year that didn't see the public, and definitely were just at home.
Well, I would think it's like everything else, you know, and you and I have talked in the past that you would rather have put more flavor in because that's what people are purchasing, you know, so you're not being shy with the oil, but you don't want to overdo it either. And that's where that experimenting comes in.
I'm not going to label a bag of cherry bomb or blueberry or whatever it is, I'm not going to label it as something and then you not be able to taste it. Or so much of our taste is from the smell. Mm-hmm. So as you're grinding it and then you're brewing it, your house or wherever you live at, even the woods, if you're brewing outside, it's going to smell like that. I've had the cafe smell very blueberry-ish for a while, or very powerful smell. So, but it's not overpowering either. So,
okay. Now the big question here is, okay, not only are you doing the flavors, but you're also starting to bring some alcohol flavors in. So I kind of picture you sitting back there with a big fifth, and are you actually using actual, you know, like bourbon or whatever? And that's got to be a process as well.
Yeah, so I use my spirits infused stuff. I was brought onto it way before I started roasting, just because before I ever started roasting, I was buying from different coffee roasters as well. Just kind of like supporting that, and I wanted to try new stuff. So I learned how to spirits infused at the beginning of 2021. Yeah, I just have a bottle of bourbon or whatever one I use at that time. And I have my ratio, so I burn the alcohol off after the beans are roasted while they're super hot. Then I get them all mixed in, and it leaves you an aftertaste. And with my spirits infused stuff, I try to buy from Michigan-based distilleries or use Michigan-based distilleries, whiskeys or bourbons or whatever I decide to use at the time, to help support other local businesses and Michigan-based businesses anyway.
Well, that's great. And whenever somebody can do that, it helps keep it local. It helps keep our local economy going. I'm going to ask you some basic questions on coffee and storing. What's the best way to store coffee if somebody has it for a long period of time?
So with my bags, I have a little valve. It's a degassing valve. The coffee bean as itself wants to degas, the CO2 comes out, and that's where these valves come in. I know people have their method of putting in the freezer or whatnot. I personally have found that these bags have worked great. I heat seal them, but there are containers that you can get online or anywhere that have a degassing valve in the container itself if you don't want to use the bags, if you want to put them in, or if you want to grind all the bag at once, which I would suggest against. I would suggest grinding as you go, but whatever works for you. But like I said, the containers are out there that have a valve on them, but that works along, that helps a lot too.
Okay. You also had mentioned in a conversation we had that what's kind of unique about what you're doing is that your stuff is pretty fresh. It's not like going to the grocery store. We don't know that the stuff that's on the shelf might be a year old, where your stuff is coming to us pretty fresh within weeks maybe of it actually being, you know, roasted. So there's an advantage to using your stuff because of that. And, you know, I'm one that sometimes I'll go and I'll get two or three bags at a time. Well, I don't drink that much coffee. That takes me a long time. And I have used the freezer method. It seems to work. But, you know, everybody's got their own. But the idea that your stuff is fresh from the beginning gives it a longer shelf life for most of us, I would think. I kind of like the way you're running your business right now. You've got a boots on the ground attitude. What is boots on the ground right now for you and your business?
So as a small business, I'm constantly adapting and going along and trying to figure out ways to be successful and whatnot. I've tried the whole made-to-order method, and that didn't seem to work. So then having it in stores does help, but when it comes down to the freshness stuff, I have a hard time letting stuff sit on a shelf for very long, and that's just my overcriticalness. But with my boots on the ground method, this spring I really took off and started hitting farmers markets and the flea markets, the Truven flea market. I'm up in Big Rapids a couple days a week right now, and then just constantly going to that. And I love going to craft shows. That seems to be that what took off last year. I got approached by the St. John's Food Festival, where it was all food vendors, and that kind of opened my eyes to the potential of that boots on the ground, interacting with customers and building those relationships and explaining that my coffee is different than what you buy at the store because of my methods, having my displays, either having the skillet there to show or just being able to talk to people and explaining that. And with my booth, I always have my little story there and people seem to get intrigued by that. So it's just, like I said, having those conversations with people.
We hope you're enjoying our podcast, and we'll be back after we thank our sponsors. West Michigan Technology and Design Solutions, your IT and web hosting experts. WestMichiganHelpDesk.com. And DW Video, your source for video production, websites, and your local videotape, slides, and 8mm film transfer specialist, DWVideo.com. Now, back to our interview.
We're with John, Coffee by John, which you can find him at coffeebyjohn.com and also on Instagram and Facebook at the same thing, Coffee by John. You can also order your coffee online if you go to your website and you're trying to build up that subscription service. Can you tell a little bit about how you got into that side of it?
Yeah, so I have the website that you can order, and I ship it up pretty fast as soon as I get it. As soon as I get the orders in, I ship them out as soon as I can get them out. Then that's just your basic ordering, but then I do offer a subscription plan. If you go to any other coffee roaster online, most of them have it. Right now I'm on a 30-day plan. You can get 1, 2, 3, or 4 bags on a 30-day cycle. I really like the subscription personally because I have a deeper relationship with those customers. And then with that, you kind of get incentives being a subscriber because you may or may not get some gifts along the way. Well, that a little surprise in the mailbox, you can say. And with my subscription plans, I have 2 different options. I have you get to choose what option you want, as far as what coffee, if you found one that you really liked and you want that every 30 days or how many bags. Or the other side of it is I choose what I send you every month. And that's kind of fun for me as well, because I can, if I have something new that's coming out, I usually send that to the subscribers before they get released to the public.
There's a constant quality control, but there's also like, oh, I got a new flavor this week. You're on my subscription. Guess who's going to get it? And you're going to get feedback from that.
Yep.
I really love that connecting with the customer. You going out and doing the shows allows people to see you and talk to you, but allows you to get interaction, you know, good and bad, but maybe some flavor ideas, because all of us have ideas of what we'd like you to do.
Yeah.
You know, it's just that you don't have enough time to do them all. But the idea that you can kind of listen to this and all of a sudden you start hearing that, you know, wow, was that three shows this week and I had a half a dozen people say they'd like this flavor. Maybe I should do some research, you know. But then you can use your subscription base to then test that out, you know, kind of see if that's got any legs to it. We're with John. He has Coffee by John. He's out of Truefitt, Michigan. Small business, but it's growing. I'm going to turn this around, you know, for one last question. Why would someone want to discover Montcalm County?
As I've only been in the area for about a year and a half or so, now almost going on 2 years, and coming from Oceana County, it's very similar as far as just the small town feel. As if anybody's been to Truefitt, they know we have a stop sign and the main part and a couple of restaurants and some of the really good restaurants there. As I traveled to the Truefitt Flea Market, I was blown away how big it was and how supportive people were. And that really caught my eye, and it's the reason why I continue to go back and do the Truefitt Flea Market or do stuff at the Wildflower Schoolhouse. It's because of that support and just overall nice people. And we have a lot to offer here in the county, and I'm still discovering it myself as life gets in the way sometimes and you're always work. But as I get out and travel and find parts of the North Country Trail or the bike trails in here in town and everything else that's going on, kind of blew me away. What's actually going on? What's unique? What other small businesses are popping up along the way that never even thought would work or even come around this area? So,
well, that's great. We're with John, Coffee by John. You can find him at coffeebyjohn.com and also on Facebook and Instagram. I'm Dwayne from DW Video and also from the Discover Montcalm podcast. For those of you that are not watching this on YouTube, that are listening to it, go to our YouTube channel and check us out at Discover Montcalm podcast, because you can kind of see some of these, the bagging. And you said that you did the artwork on some of the, well, you did artwork on all of these.
Yeah, I designed them through my websites, that my artwork that I had to do. Like the farm life here, that's actually my grandpa's barn. That was some photos, and other photos on the bags are photos I've definitely taken myself.
Well, as I'm looking at these, you know, I love your cherry bomb, but this peach one right here, I'm going to have to get that one from you, because I think that's going to be coming to my coffee pot here sometime real soon. So thanks again, John, for stopping by. And for all of you out there, remember to buy and shop locally.
Connect and subscribe to Discover Montcalm Podcast at discovermontcalmpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Discover Montcalm Podcast. To be featured in an upcoming show, contact Dwayne at 231-250-9624. Remember to subscribe at discovermontcalmpodcast.com.